This call I'm sure is being recorded.
When Patrick and if Craig jump in, we'll be able to see. Okay, so I'm going to hereby call this December meeting of the Alpha Rho Alumni Chapter to order. John, can you please take roll?
Sure. I apologize. My phone might be a little broken up, so if you don't hear me or if I'm broken up, please just let me know. Patrick Farley? Jordan Feathers?
Here.
Craig Winkleman? I think he was a little late here. Jason Hyatt?
No, I'm here.
Thanks, Jason. Patrick Folio?
Here.
Chris Denson?
Here.
Matt Loffa?
Here.
Tom is present. And I hear that Bob Loffner's on the call. Was anyone else?
Baldwin.
Thanks, Eric.
Twan's on, too.
Thanks, guys. Sorry, I'm tucking away. I believe that's it. Over to you.
Okay, thanks. Can I have the reading of the last minute, unless somebody wants to propose a motion?
I move to cancel the reading. Dispense with it.
Can we have a second?
Second.
Anybody second. Opposed? Jason has proposed that motion, and that was seconded by, sound like, Jordan. Anybody opposed? Okay, we'll waive the minutes, the reading of the minutes. And we'll jump right into to officer reports. And I'm going to really, 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 really try to make this as quickly as we can. I know there's a lot to cover. There's a bunch of stuff that's out there. But let's go ahead and just get this rolling. Until Patrick jumps in on this, I'm going to skip over his report and go right to Jordan. And Jordan, why don't you give us an update on what's going on with the orders?
All right. Tom had asked me to look up a couple things regarding the apparel for the folks who have contributed. We had two main options. The PieCast store was one. And the good part about that, we can order whatever we want individually. But of course, it's pricey. The second option was a local place. I had researched three different places in the area, and two of them are not doing any fraternity wear at all anymore because of the high markup due to getting things approved by national organizations. That includes our national organization. It's a 9.5% markup that they have to push on to us. So the prices were considerably less than the PieCap store. However, the quantities were the biggest issue. We have to order at least 12 of each garment. And to get a better price, of course, the higher quantity we'd have to go with. So we don't want a whole lot of inventory hanging around, considering the numbers that we have right now of contributing members. So that's something that can be discussed further.
Okay, thanks. Here's what I propose that we do. I think we should go ahead and order the clothing from the PieCap store. I checked. Unfortunately, they only take credit cards, and so if you don't want to use yours, just let me know, and I'll put it on mine. I think what we should simply do is have the golf shirts embroidered with the simple wording of Alpha Rho Alumni on the right sleeve, and then the fleece we can have embroidered under the crest that's on the chest. And you can get that done by somebody there, right? You don't have to pay a licensing to have that the wording embroidered, correct?
I believe that is true. So if we just added that on, that wouldn't be an issue.
Okay. If you
the major issue had to do with the logos that Jason sent me all had, like the star shield on them.
Yep.
And that is something that would have to be approved by PieCap Nationals, and they would then charge the 9.5% markup.
Yeah. Well, and again, I think let's just go ahead and do that. Let's order what we need from the website. The T-shirts that we order don't need to be embroidered. You can just get pie cap T-shirts and be done with it for that. And so if we do that, we'll get out those. And then as we move forward, you know, if we have people that contribute, we can aggregate them on a monthly or bi-monthly, make an order, have that taken care of by the people that you choose, so that it's not overly cumbersome. But we're getting them out quickly. But we've had people that have contributed, 2 months ago. I'm sure they're patient, but I'd like to get something out to them as soon as we can. So go ahead and make the order, and let's just roll that way. And if we need to change going forward, we can, but let's start it that way. Does that sound good?
Sounds good to me.
All right. Thank you. All right. We're going to move forward with fundraising, and I traded a few emails with Craig. Craig, are you on? Did you join? Okay, well, we can make fun of the fact that he's turning 67 tomorrow. It's his birthday. He's not really 67, but he's old. So if all of you guys want to razz him tomorrow on his birthday, that's great. Craig shared some thoughts with me by way of email, and one of the things that he wants to do, and I'll get into a lot more of my thoughts on fundraising during my report, is Craig wants to get into he wants to encourage a competition. His suggestion, as opposed to the pledge classes, was to do it among the decades. So 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000, and then that would be it, to see who could raise the most money. It's a novel idea. Let's get some competition going. We can come up and finalize the way that we're going to do that, if it's that by decade or by pledge class or by eras, I don't care. But it would be nice to put some competition in there, think up some reward that we could come up with and make it work. So he shared some ideas on the postcard that I'm going to wait until we get to John's and John's report, and we'll talk about it then. Okay, next report, Jason, Chief Information Officer. Anything of interest going on?
Not a whole lot. I think we finally, Tom and I had a conference call about a month and a half ago with Nationals. I believe our database now is 100% as far as status, inactive, suspension for until 2021, or suspended. So that was a big hurdle there. So now I can, as I'm sending emails and everything, I'm pretty confident we have the right group of people to be sending to. And then other than that, we're still working on getting updates. You know, I think we're up to about 70 plus updated info, so I'm happy with that, but I'd like to increase that. Otherwise, no, I'm keeping the website as is until we're done with this campaign into next year. And then Baldwin and I are going to work on revamping it to make it more professional, just look a little cleaner, a little neater. The one we got up there now, we just wanted something up. We're looking at PICAP NSU. You can go PICAPNSU.org. They've been Alumni Chapter of the Year a couple years. They have a very clean, very nice website. So that's kind of what we're looking to model it after. But that'll be February, March. We want to wait until, I don't want to mess with the site until we're sure we're done sending people to it en masse. Other than that, that's really all I have.
Okay, great. That sounds good. And yeah, just keep your eye out on the website stuff. I still want to get that done, but I understand not wanting to blow the momentum and not have the ability to integrate what you've already built on the website as far as the contribution pages. So just keep us posted. Keep your eye out on for that.
Absolutely.
Okay. Next, JG, Secretary, Chief Communications Officer. What are you working on?
Thanks for sharing the postcard. With regard to that postcard, it's obviously a quick hit to raise awareness of the financing campaign. The challenge I ran into with text, and if you've seen it, is too much text. Yet, my comments first are we sure that every member understands that we're closed right now at the undergraduate level? Is my first question that I propose.
Everyone got a letter, and anyone that had an email got an email both from us and from the administrative office. So as best we could. I think we got that information out there.
And Thomas Baldwin, if you guys had, well, I was going to say, if you guys were had your information up to date on the national website, they also sent a second letter out. I got one from them, I think, before I got from you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, they corresponded first, then we piggybacked on what they sent. So yeah, I'm confident that everyone's got that message.
Okay. The reason I asked that is just making sure that I didn't want to say, hey, we're closed, and then, oh, by the way, ask for money kind of thing. And I would like to get comments, and I've got a few already, and I appreciate those who've sent them in. You know, a piece of this sort is very small. This is a 4x6 design. You know, the price goes up a little bit if you go to the 5.5x8.5, which is a little bigger card. The purpose of this, and correct if I'm wrong, is really trying to get people to the website to learn more information and make the decision. Or is this piece intended to drive the quick hit to the website and contribute? I know that's a loaded set of questions, but I'd be curious to know what other thoughts are, and this design is by no means set in stone. It can go in any direction we want.
Anybody have any thoughts on that? It's a good question. It's something I thought about.
I mean, I like the design. I think describing them to the website is where we can focus on having all the content. So, you know, I know a couple of things where the wording, we could probably scale back on some of the wording and say a quick intro, find out more at wvpodcap.org, same thing on the back, because at that point we can then tailor the website to whatever we want to tell them. But I think the key right now is getting to the website and getting them to follow us on whatever media they use, because that's mainly how we're communicating, and then with the emails. That's my thought.
Good. Who else? It's good stuff, Jason.
I agree with that, Patrick. I think we need to get them to the website, and I think we can bullet point some of the text on the card to and just make it as crisp and impactful as possible to force them over to the website.
And John, I don't have it right in front of me. I'm searching for the email. What's the cost difference between the larger postcard versus the 4x6?
Yeah, give me a second here. The 5x8 really is another 20 cents higher, actually 30 cents higher. You're looking at a difference between, if you stay first class, you're looking at $458 versus $606.
$606?
Yeah. Now, that's at the first class mailing, which is a 2 to 5 day mail period. If we go bulk for the 5.5x8.5, it drops to about $547. So it's about $100 more in that respect. But you're looking at a week to 2 days delivery period.
I'll just add, John, verify what they define bulk mail is. My understanding is the addresses all have to be formatted correctly with the 4-digit zip extension and all that, which we do not
have.
That's
a good point you bring up, Jason. I appreciate that. I haven't vetted that with the mail services yet. I haven't done bulk in a while. There may be a minimum number as well that I haven't seen, but we're looking at between $450 to $600 at this point.
I mean, without the dimensions in front of me, I think a bigger postcard for this purpose is better just because it's bigger.
Yeah.
And again, I think to make it really, really simple, it is the purpose is to drive people to the website. I mean, as simple as we can make it. What's the most effective way using that postcard that eyeballs go on that and immediately go, yeah, I want to contribute. I remember, yeah, they've been doing all this stuff. I got to get out there and do it. We don't need all the wording. We kind of agree on that. But I want you to come up with something that you think looks good, that is effective, that's simple, and let's spend the $600 to get something a little bit bigger, in the hands of people that will drive them to the website. And if possible, I'd like for this thing to be ordered, and printed before the end of the year, because I'd like to have this thing out as early in January as possible. And in addition to that, when that's completed, I just also want to say that I think we need to follow up the postcards with phone calls. Craig reiterated, that's one of the things that he said in his correspondence. He wants that done as part of this. And I'm in agreement with that. I think when we send out the postcards, we take a 20, 25 members, 100 members, whatever it is, each of us, and just start calling and following up with that and saying, hey, got the postcard. You have any questions? We need your contributions. Thanks a lot. Move on to the next one. But I really want to get that thing out in January. So, John, if you could take a fresh look at this using the suggestions we had. If you and everyone else, if you haven't sent John your thoughts on this, please do. Spend 10 minutes looking at this thing. Give him the suggestions. Send it back to him and copy me on it. And let's get something quickly done that looks good, and we can get out and ordered so that we can send it out early January.
I'd like to ask one more question. What's the initial thought of having those membership values on there?
Is that
good or bad?
On the back?
Yeah.
Personally, I like it. I think it's good. It shows what we're doing. That's my thought.
I like it as well.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm good. Anybody against that?
Gentlemen. It's 67.
Thank you for coming to us after the traffic nightmare that you encountered.
Hey, it was fun. It was kind of going around curves on two wheels. I was having a good time.
Well, good. I'm glad you're with us.
I have a comment or two about the postcard.
By all means.
Well, I think we need to keep a very open mind about this particular project, because for a great majority of the people who are going to be receiving the postcard, they've not heard from our chapter in a very long time. And it may very well be that if they did get the correspondence about the chapter closing, that may have been the first one that they got in 15 years. Some, it may have been more. So these people are not connected at all to the bigger fraternity or to our chapter, because we know as they have developed through time, if they wanted to be involved with the chapter, they would have reached out to us, I believe. So we're getting ready to go into a major campaign to send marketing materials out to 500-600 people, and I would make a guesstimate from just other marketing campaigns that I've witnessed before that probably 90% of those postcards are going immediately to the trash. I mean, these are folks that this is the first time. I mean, Alpha Row. Oh, yes. Pi Kappa Phi. I remember being with that. So it's going to be an initial wake up and remembering what Pi Kappa Phi is. If they are still interested at all, I really am a little bit worried that we're going to spend that much money for a very full, small piece of paper that may or may not show itself in a pile of mail that you get during the day. And if it's something that they're not used to getting, it's going to be like I get a piece of paper about Mopar Jeep parts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you'll be like, okay, here's something else from the fraternity, boom. So I just want us to be very careful and thoughtful in that this is how we want to spend what little money we do have, and that this is the absolute best method to get them thinking I do agree that they need to go to the website, but I think the first thing we're going to really have to make sure is that we have caught their attention. Not necessarily that we're, hi, how are you? I haven't talked to you in 20 years. Can you give me some money?
Right.
I just don't think that's going to have any meaning to these men, and I really think we need to really make sure that we're happy going in that direction, because we'll have to send out a second, a third, a fourth mailing. So it's not just the initial $500 or $600 we're spending. This is going to be committed to a long-term mailing campaign, because you can't put all of your eggs in one mailing and say, okay, that's it. Now we're going to get the money we need and we're going to be happy. I just have concerns.
No, and they're valid concerns. Let's back up for a second, back off of the postcard, and let's spend a little bit of time just reiterating the purpose and the communication strategy for the campaign itself. And and this is for everyone. I'm not speaking at you, Patrick. I'm talking to all of you just to remind you of what we had discussed in terms of the overall strategy of communicating the contribution. What we decided to do, and what we thought would be the great would be the right strategy, is to connect with our members in every way that we could possibly do, and that was electronically. It was, you know, through email, through social media, Facebook, Twitter, whatever other social medias we decide to use. We were also going to be part of that campaign was reaching out individually by phone. It was also having these regional meetings to discuss this in face-to-face. It was also going to be a big letter that we sent out that laid out why, what's happened, why we're doing it. And the cost to do that was in the thousands of dollars. So we came back and said, we need to touch some of the people that we haven't been able to reach either by social media or face-to-face or over the phone in a old-fashioned mailing. So the purpose, again, and I'm going to say something that I said at the beginning right before you jumped on, the purpose of the postcard is simply to drive eyes to and get people to hit the website. And on the website, we're going to have my letter, your letter, all of the history of what has taken place with the undergraduate chapter, why we're asking money, the purpose of all that. So it's all going to be there. The purpose of the postcard is simply to layer on to the strategy of everything else having that postcard. I don't have the expectation, John, and I don't think you do, and I don't think, Jason, you do either, that this one postcard is going to cause a significant rise in number of people that contribute. However, it's an additional layer of our strategy.
So the purpose, what I'm hearing in this brainstorming, is that the purpose of this piece of paper is going to catch their attention and have them do something simple like log onto a website.
Yes.
So even if the postcard is something that's very aesthetically driven so that it stands out from other things, and, you know, at the national level, when they were talking about putting our branding together and putting the logos together and the pieces they use in publication and communication, it really is at a level of consistency and, I hate to use the term mediocrity, but middle of the road. They didn't want it too over the top, and they didn't want it to be so mundane that nobody ever looks at it.
Correct.
So if our purpose is to send out a piece of paper that grabs attention and says, go here, then I think that's what we need to focus on the postcard doing, even if it's just one big thing on one side, like a star lamp or something that's recognizable to these men, like, oh, I haven't seen that in a while. And you turn it over, and there's the website, and says, you know, like, yes, what, you know, something that is a catching statement to get them to want to log on, and then let them log on. We've caught them at that point.
Yeah. Whatever the message is, and again, I think Marketing 101 and the thought process behind this is, in today's marketing, the way you have to do it is multifaceted. It's multi-layered. It's electronic, it's voice, it's old-fashioned mailings. So the postcard itself isn't as important as driving them and dripping on them to make sure that they understand that we need money. That's the bottom line.
What I don't think we need to do, Tom, is for the message of this postcard, I think the message should be, come check us out now, versus, do you have some extra bucks to give, even though we haven't talked in 20 years?
This is Hyde. Hearing him talk this out, I agree. I think we should take the donation levels off. Something simple on the front, star and lamp, the logo, the cross and shield. Hey, haven't seen you in a while, and then check us out at wpicap.org. I think that the wording was nice. The ideal chapter, use a quick little phrase there, but the more I've heard him talk, I think he's spot on. If it's over the top, you're going to throw it away thinking it's junk mail. If it's plain or wordy, you're maybe not going to want to read. And, the whole point here is to get people who aren't interested to just do something quick and easy and then hopefully pull them in.
We want to pique their interest and say, well, now I need to find out the answer to that question, or what does that statement mean? So I'm going to log on and at least try to find what the hell they were talking about on that piece of paper. I mean, it needs to be that type of catch rather than necessarily a fraternity rebonding catch at that level. I mean, this is the first thing they've ever seen.
Yeah, and let me offer this, just the devil's advocate here. I would think that the mailing that it reaches when somebody sees it, this isn't going to be, I think for the vast majority, I really do, I believe that probably 90% of our membership knows what's happened. Again, there was a letter that went out from the national office. There was a letter that went out from us. We've hit them with emails. We've hit them on social media. Most people know that what happened with the chapter. Having said that, I think, again, the postcard should be marketing, simple marketing. We need your help. Or what's going on with Alpha Row? What's going on at WVU? Something simple, very simple. And I think, again, I think we need to put this back in John's lap and let him come up with some thought. But I want everyone to engage and give him ideas about what that would look like. Take this offline. Take tonight to think about it. Shoot John and copy me on the email and give him some ideas. And John, you kind of come up with it and drive it. Take the best ideas that you can and you think, and I trust your judgment, and this is your baby, so go on and come up with something that you think works well. You and I will discuss it. We'll put it out to everyone. If someone has a huge objection, we'll start over. But let's get this done. Let's get this thing put to bed, ordered, so that January we rolls around and this thing is ready to be mailed. Does that sound good? Everybody good with that?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it sounds great, Tom. And I think everybody needs to think forward in that, what is this one foundation piece, how is it going to continue through everything else we're going to be doing in the upcoming months and years? How is it really going to make it all come together? We don't need the postcard to look one thing and do one thing, and then maybe a letter will look different and do something. It's got to have a flow and a consistency.
Yeah, I agree. That's a perfect point. So, take that in consideration, John. That's a good point. Okay, John. Unless you've got anything else, I'm gonna move on.
No, go ahead. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. All right, moving on. Patrick, what's going on with you?
How much you?
Which Patrick?
I'm so sorry. That's right, because I said we were gonna come back. I'm sorry, Brother Treasurer, hang on one second. Let me move back to our member at large, Patrick number 67. Can you please give us an update on the history project?
Yeah, I have finally pulled together what I think is all of the pieces of paper that I can even begin to find from 1978 moving forward. And I've got pieces of paper that support historical data up through about 2003. So if anybody on the call has things from 2003 that they can share with me, either via scan or just in an email saying, hey, here's, you know, like all the Rose Bowl invitations I've got and list times and dates. I mean, give me information of when things happened. Because we're going to be setting up for the history project, there is going to be a verbiage that people are able to read in the great big overview. But there's going to be also a lot of tag-along spreadsheets and pieces of information that are more topic-driven, like who were the archons along the way from 1930 until today. You know, what were the addresses and pictures of where we lived in all of those time frames. So we're trying to pull together, again, the big picture that Tom is really wanting to see from me is the writing and the telling of the story from 1930 until present. But personally, in order to do that portion well, I need these documents at least shared with me in some format, so that I know where to put the emphasis of time frames within the history. So if anybody has that, if you have pictures you want to scan and send to me, I can incorporate that into, you know, what was happening that time. Well, let's make sure we get it in the time frame of when things happened for Alpha Rose. So that's kind of where I am at the moment. I do have a pen to paper draft of what the history is starting to look like. And I know I keep pushing it back a few weeks, but hey, J.K. Rowling had this problem as well. I'm hoping that by the end of this year, by the end of 2015, I'll have something a little more solid on the overall history that Tom wants to start using in campaigns and written information and rush events, as well as some of these other ones that I, and some of those spreadsheets are out there on the website that you can actually take a look at, I believe. Jason, are those open to the whole group or are they just for me?
Which ones?
The officers.
Like the officers, the time frame of events that happened, like Rose Balls and Homecoming and all of the spreadsheets I've been putting together out there. Can everybody see those?
I can share links to anybody that wants them. I don't have them directly on the webpage. I mean, I can make a sheet on the page to click on them.
If that could be in a place where people can view them, at least this group can view them, then that might trigger some thinking, just as it did when we had the phone conversation with Giles Davidson.
I'll create a web page and just send everybody a link to the page. We'll kind of hide it on the website, but that a landing page we can go to click to kind of get around. Yeah, I'll work on that.
And then it'll have those other tabs for the other projects as well.
I'll put everything.
Make sure that Lafa gets a hold of that too. I want him to look at the information. And Matt, you know, join in on any of that stuff that you know. If you haven't already, I think you may have already looked at that, but whatever you can add to that would be helpful from 2003 on. And then
even if you don't think it's important, it might be. So yeah. Go ahead and put it in there.
Sure. And I have a few things that I put aside actually that were rush cards and stuff like that. I'll get to you.
That'd be killer. Patrick, reach out, and Jason, reach out to Dyson to get some things from him as well from that time. You might have to email him 15 times, but reach out to him for that time period. All right, great. And just let me just add something, Patrick, to the conversation. My hope is to get it done well and have it done soon. But if I'm forced to pick between having it done well versus fast, I'm going to choose having it done well. So, and I know you're working with a sense of urgency. Just continue to do that, and let's get this thing really, really well done. Craig asked me a question today, and he put it this way. He goes, you know, I don't know why we're having to go through the history and reiterate the history, talking about the postcard. Don't most people know the history of Alfa Romeo? And the truth of it is that, no, they don't. Most people aren't familiar with the history of Alfa Romeo beyond the maybe a couple years before they were there and a couple years after they left. So this is important. This is big. This is big for all of our alumni to see, to tie them back into the importance of Alfa Romeo. And it's also really important for us going forward to set a base for our new chapter when it comes back, and for our new guys to understand that they're part of a much larger organization than just there. So, again, let's do it well. Work with the sense of urgency. Let's get it done, but let's do it really well. Okay?
Hey, you know, Tom, just like it did for me when I was going through all of this paperwork, all of a sudden you see something, a picture, a statement, a date, a newspaper article, and it really lets the floodgates open, and that causes me to feel more connected all of a sudden when I didn't feel that way before I started reading.
And I agree, Pat. Hey, Pat, this is Thomas and Bob, because you do that, and I think it's going to go hand-in-hand with our financial campaign. Alums see that, and they're stimulated because they're fond memories to donate to the chapter. So those are going to go right hand-in-hand. I think it's real important to get both of those together.
Yeah.
Absolutely, Rob, Bob. And when I was talking with the folks who do the WVU magazine that goes out, as well as I know in my days of having worked with the Star and Lamp, the section of either of those publications that an alum is more likely to go to as soon as they get it is back in the back when you're looking for updates from your year. You're looking for, did somebody sadly pass away? Did somebody get married? Did somebody have a grandchild? Do they have a major life event? So that's usually where people go to first because it's what they relate to. So those types of pieces of information are going to be really important in this history project.
Yep. Okay, good. Let's leave it there. So just keep working on it, and let's get that tidied up. Okay, moving on. Brother Treasurer Patrick, we're ready for your update.
Hey, thanks, Tom. As of this morning, we had collected, and this is what's in the bank, the balance is $7,565.61. We're leaving in $250 in PayPal so they can deduct fees and stuff. So our total cash on hand is $7,815.61. We still have outstanding bills from homecoming that I've not paid yet. I will do that here by the end of the year. So, Tom, I think you sent me an email wanting a list of who the monthly contributors are, correct?
No, what I want is just I want an idea of what we can expect from a recurring revenue standpoint every month based on those that have signed up for monthly contributions instead of doing it at a one-shot deal. What can we expect on a monthly basis to come in? And then going forward, you know, I'd like for you to give us that number. What did we get in from recurring revenues from those that are doing monthly payments through PayPal?
Okay. We only have 3 people doing recurring payments. So
okay.
I will make sure that I'll get that and keep you up to date. I'm trying to figure out the best way to report all this to you. It's probably best loaded a sort of report today, so I start calling all that information and getting it into a single spreadsheet.
I don't go to any crazy lengths. I think it's just important. I want to know, and I think everybody would want to know, what was the new contributions for the month? you know, balance, what's the new contributions for the month, and then if a new person does sign up and they're doing a monthly contribution, let's project that going forward in terms of a revenue stream so we can have an idea of cash flow throughout the, in any given month.
Got it.
Cool.
One of the questions that came up at the regional gathering that Brother Loughner had was, I think, a little bit of confusion as to the budget that we presented, looking at $20,000. And some people around the table thought that that was the budget forever, as opposed to an annual budget that needs
right.
to be realized again next year.
Yeah, and we're gonna need to clarify that. Yeah, we set that ambitious budget for the first year, and I thought we communicated this, but we probably should reiterate the point anyway, is the fact that, yes, this was what we set for the first year. We have a few variables that we're not really sure about, and that our expectation is that going forward in the future years that those numbers will come down, but we weren't going to, you know, say that for sure until we get a better feel of what we're dealing with here. So we need to communicate that, and we will.
And we need to remember that we are in the know, and we are the only ones who really, really are. We're maybe talking to somebody who isn't as knowledgeable and on our train of thought as we are. So we've got to pretend like we don't know anything when we're communicating.
Yeah, you're right. It's something that we've got to definitely keep in mind in our communications.
And it's hard to do. It's a difficult task.
Well, again, I am all for transparency. I think it's extremely important. We've done everything we possibly could to make what we're doing as transparent as possible. It is incumbent upon somebody that if they have a question, they don't understand it, they can ask. But at the same time, I don't want to get the board in a position to where we're having to explain everything like we're explaining it for the first time in every single communication that we put out. We have these meetings every month, and they're publicized every month. And anyone who wants to know what's going on, all they have to do is either join the call or look at the minutes of the meeting for them to understand exactly what's taking place. It's not to diminish anything that you said, Patrick, or what came out of the original meeting. But we've got to be mindful of it, but we also don't need to get bogged down in the explanations and justifications of what we're doing like it's the first time every time we make a communication. But your point's taken, and I hear it, I'm sure Patrick does too, as far as the budget goes. But we'll work on that going forward. And I'm going to use that as an opportunity to transition into the next report. Patrick, do you have anything else, by the way?
I sent out earlier today to everyone on the call.
I'm so sorry.
A template for expenses. So, Bob, if you had any expenses from the event in Pittsburgh, please get those to me. I'd like to try to get all expenses 30 days from the date that they incurred. And then if there's any traveling that you did that you needed to go do some stuff, we're reimbursing at the IRS rate of, I think it's 57.5 cents. And then, and it's a template, so you can easily save it to your template folder, and then you just have to open it up each time to use it. And there is a naming convention. It's in the email, how I would like for you to name when you save it. So, and don't forget to add your PDF of your receipt so that we'll have that backup for our records.
That's great. And again, if you don't know what he's talking about in terms of the way that needs to be saved, look at the email he sent out before. And also, Jason, if you could take that information or Eric and create that in the website somehow so that it's out there with the instructions of how to save it, that would be really great to be able to utilize that for anyone that needs to go out and fill in an expense report without having to search through their emails. Okay. All right, let me you know, the Patrick and 67 transitioning into that conversation about how we best get out there and communicate really is why the Strategic Planning Committee was created. That report, when it comes out, is going to be available online, which lays out a lot of what we're talking about and why we're doing what we're doing. So, Barney, why don't you go ahead and give us your report and just give us an update on where you are on the Strategic Planning Committee.
All right. Right now, the committee is formed. It consists of four people, me, Tom, Craig, and Foof. I think we've decided just to go with the four of us for now. The plan is to begin meeting in January, the beginning of January. We plan to do this by teleconference. And just to refresh everyone's recollection, what we're going to do is identify what went wrong with the chapter. Why was the charter revoked? What and, you know, was it a failure in certain areas? And the point of doing that is to try not to live by this, try not to make the same mistake a second time. And to help that, the next step is to then come up with processes or strategies or plans that can prevent the charter from being revoked. So that's the first plan that I think we want to accomplish, is to find out what happened, prevent it from happening again. After that, the next step is to then go through the processes that need to be performed by the individual officers, the alumni board, things like that. I think, though, for this time, at least by April, the goal is to have a report that lays out what happened and how we prevent it from happening again. And I think we probably will need to talk to some people, Dyson, Turner, obviously Tom, who's on the board, is a great resource for that information. But that's the plan, is to have all of that done by April. We'll hopefully start meeting in January, and then, you know, we'll decide in January how often we will meet to accomplish that goal.
Great. Just to add on to that, I had a phone call today from Rob Oliveri down at the national office, who called to ask some ideas for other alumni chapters that are getting started, and we got on the topic of the Strategic Planning Committee and how I thought that was it's essential for us and maybe for other alumni chapters. But the reason why, and again, I just want to reiterate this, is we have to be able to understand that in the framework of what we're doing, it is all about reestablishing the undergraduate chapter and providing a mechanism and processes by which they understand very clearly, whoever comes after us and whoever joins, is that this is our chapter and that we intend to hold our chapter accountable to live up to the ideals that are the founders set for us. And that was the problem. I mean, that, you know, however we became unhinged or detached from the living the ideals of our founders is what we're going to discover in the strategic planning meeting and come up with processes that put that in back into place. Because, again, we will hold our undergraduate chapter accountable. That's a key word, and I want to make sure that we're all on the same page with that. Accountability to live up to the standards that we set and that we expect our undergraduate chapter to follow. So that's an important thing. We're gonna bang that out. There's a bigger component to the Strategic Planning Committee, but I think, you know, Barney really was smart enough to really stop the process and say, we could bite off way more than we could chew here. We could really go into the goal of what do we do as an alumni chapter and really kind of broadly working in a lot of different directions that need to get done. But for April and for our business meeting in April and Spring Alumni Weekend, to present to the membership is going to be those two things: what went wrong and what can we do, and the processes that we can put into place from preventing that to happen. And the reason we're going to do that early is so that over the next couple years, having that knowledge, we can build a great board of alumni advisors. We can go out and recruit, and we can set them up from the very beginning understanding what went wrong and what they need to build into their board of alumni advisors to get that sense of accountability and prevent what happened before from happening again. Okay? All right. Let's. Any questions on that? Barney, do you have anything else?
No, that's good.
Okay. All right, well, then let's spend some time with Mr. Laffa outlining for us the plans for Spring Alumni Weekend, where we're going to release this strategic plan, amongst other things.
Hey, everybody. What's going on? So I have pretty much, and I don't know if Jason has the file. I sent it to him pretty late. But if he has it, if he could pull it up, I can't access our file sharing from my office. But
the middle one, you guys can open it up.
Cool. So there's two things, and I'm pretty much I'm leaning towards one. It's Friday, April 15th, would be the arrival into Morgantown for our the Alpha Rho Alumni Association Spring Retreat. We meet and greet 7:30-ish at Mario's Fishbowl, very low-key. Everybody just kind of comes and goes as they please. We've reserved rooms we will be reserving rooms at the Hotel Morgan on High Street. We'll have a block. We'll start with 10 rooms or so until that fills up, then we could add more. The guy said, who I spoke to, he doesn't expect this to be a high-frequency weekend for them. And I think they're at like 75% availability at the moment. So then Saturday morning, 10 a.m., we will go to the Erickson Alumni Center. I'm waiting to hear back from the Mountain Lair. They're becoming a little bit difficult to deal with just because they're not so used to renting out rooms to alumni.
Well, let me interrupt you there.
Go ahead.
We have a contact that will get us those rooms if we need them, and they won't cost us. So
we'll take
that offline. I know who to go through. It's Dr. Baker's office and Jessica Lee that can hook us up.
All right. So then, you know, and here's then where we'll have a debate, and we can also bring that offline before we'll bring it back for discussion. The Erickson Alumni Center, depending on the size of the, you know, how many people we get in attendance, we can have the board meeting at 10 a.m. This would be a smaller group, and then I figured we would open a town hall for everybody who showed at 12. So that gives us 2 hours of planning, and then at 12 o'clock we have the town hall, and we can do a lunch if we'd like, something low-key. It's up to you guys, or we can wait until 1:30 and have the softball game at the Med Center Fields or at Tower Fields and have a grill, et cetera, there, if we'd like. I had pricing on that sheet that I sent to Jason, but with the room fees, even at the most, it doesn't break 400, which I would try to get that down somehow. And then on Saturday evening after softball, it gives everybody time to go back, shower, change, relax for a second, and then have cocktail hour or with something low-key at the Hotel Morgan on their rooftop.
Sweet.
So that, I'm still waiting to hear back from them. I spoke to the manager there yesterday, and I just want to get from him pricing in terms of maybe an open bar for an hour or so or 2 hours. And then everybody can have their own plans for Saturday night.
That's good. Let me give you one thought on the actual business part of the day. In addition to releasing the strategic plan, we have to hold elections. So I think that I like the idea of having a board meeting, but it probably doesn't need to be anything more than maybe a half an hour, and then open it up for a good period of time to get through the business with those that are in attendance. Sure. One of the things that we're going to need, too, is the ability for a teleconference to take place for those that can't make it in. We want to have the ability for them to call in. So as you're working with either the Mountain Layer or the Erickson Alumni Center, just keep that in mind so that we have the ability to teleconference. And then just the regular things in as far as the meeting room would go, a grease board, dry erase board, or a flip chart, or just some of the things that we'll need to have in there. But you're on a really good start. I want to get this announced. I want to, if you've got that date set, let's put it out there. Make an announcement. Work on the announcement with Jason. Spring Alumni Weekend, the broad purpose of the Alumni Weekend, and get it out there and announced and on the calendar.
All right, cool. Also, just a side note, I'll send it to Jason as well. I've been working on the date for the homecoming game has been announced, so we'll make that announcement, get it on the calendar for next year as well.
Yes, please, because hotel rooms are already booking up.
Okay, so we'll get that out roughly the same time. I was
and at the same time, I believe that's, what was it, October 4th? Is that the date?
First.
Does anybody remember? October 1st? Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's what I need some help with, guys. That is my anniversary weekend, and I need to be working on an excuse to get up to Morgantown without losing my marriage. So if you guys could help me work on that, I'd appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Can we go ahead and purchase maybe a filling to be with her while you're gone?
Sure.
Maybe she won't feel that it's such a loss if there's somebody there that might entertain her.
Yes, thanks, Patrick. That's a wonderful idea. We'll take that under advisement. Okay.
I've had my fair share of seeing the Rose of Pi Kappa Phi to people's wives if you want to bring her along.
Absolutely, Matt. That'd be something I would entertain. She hasn't been sung that since the wedding, so. All right. Great stuff. Anything else on the weekend, Matt?
No, I think, like you mentioned, offline, we're going to keep this one fairly simple. I think we allotted 3 hours for the business portion of the weekend. It's going to take 2 hours to run the softball game, and then we'll have that cocktail hour on Saturday night. Everything else is kind of come and go as you please. I think the only thing, what kind of budget were we looking at for this event?
Geez, I don't remember. I think we've got
$1,000 or $1,500.
$2,500, Zoe said. I don't remember.
$25.
$25.
Oh, yeah.
I could stretch that.
Patrick, if you can just take a look at the budget later and send that to him, just to give him an idea of what we're looking at. Where you are right now is great. It's exactly what I had in mind. We've got to be really... unless we really kick it into gear by April and have, a $15,000, contribution, or if we're at the $20,000, we don't have anything to worry about. If we kind of flatline here and don't appreciate much, we're going to have to be really smart about this. And it's one of the things I'm going to talk about in my report is the prioritization based on where we are and what we need to do. So, take that one into consideration.
Sure. And
it's Patrick. There's $1,000 in budget for this.
Okay. Start with that, Matt. Try to keep within the $1,000.
Yeah, for sure. Second thought I had is this an event that we're charging for?
Yeah. You have to offset some of the costs.
Okay. So, and I'll open this up to everybody here. the Alumni Center, and I'm sure the Mount Laurel does something similar, offers box lunches for the guys. If I don't know how you guys want to do that. Do we want to do barbecue while we're playing softball, or do we want to do something that's less labor-intensive on our end?
Well, you're talking barbecue. It's never labor-intensive. I mean, it's got me
well,
to barbecue.
Well, if we're over by the Med Center, can't we just whiz over to Wings?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we can have it. We can barbecue, or we can get something catered over to the fields. You know, I'm all for it. So I think if we're trying to reduce costs, that's the way we'll go.
Yeah, let's take that one. Again, let's put that one offline. We'll work on the details. You know, in January, February, and iron everything out beforehand. But yeah, let's stick with the 1,000. Get some good ideas going. Some things that we could do and. We'll go from there.
All right, cool.
All right. Thank you. That was great. And I'm going to go into my report. And you know, I want to preface my comments by saying how much I appreciate all of you guys, and I appreciate the regional guys who've started to hold your events, and Bob and Tuan, who's going to have one tomorrow, and Eric, you've got one, I think, in percolating and working on yours. I really appreciate you guys doing what you're doing. And it is the regional stuff. I don't care if you've got four or five people that show up to your first event. It doesn't matter. Just having it is great. You're building a foundation. You can use that to market to the next meeting and enjoy yourselves and have a good time, even if it's four or five people. It's still good. So thank you guys for agreeing to do that. I loved seeing the pictures from Pittsburgh. I look forward to seeing the pictures from Charleston tomorrow. And Eric, when you get your stuff going, that'd be terrific. I also appreciate the work that the board does, that all of you guys do individually for the alumni chapter. And I really feel like we're all on the same page in terms of where we're headed and why we're doing all of what we're doing. I'm really optimistic about the direction we're headed. I do need to remind myself that we're just getting this new and improved version of our alumni chapter off the ground. I've been a little impatient. I've wanted to see things further along with our contribution campaign. I was really expecting us to have many more and a broadly diversified group contribute by now. And, you know, I really appreciate all who have participated, but I know we have a lot more work to do. And we have the ability to meet that $20,000 goal early in 2016 because of the fact that so few of our members have participated. And I want all of you to remember that. I want you to keep that in mind. We haven't even scratched the surface of what we can do, and we're probably close to halfway through to our goal. So, you know, I came up with two words, and I was trading some messages with Bob this morning, and it's persistence and consistency. And we just all need to be persistent in our efforts and consistent in delivering a message of hope for the future of Alpha Rho. We got to remember that, and we've got to maintain that. We've got to persist in our efforts, and we've got to be consistent in delivering that message of hope. We're the ones, as Patrick said earlier, we're the ones in the know, but we have to be able to demonstrate that. We have to be that beacon of hope that gets out there that says what we're doing is right, why we're doing it is right, and we're really trying to get things turned around and great for Alpha Rho again. And as I said in the email this morning, to in response to some of those questions that Bob raised, is we've got to be confident that what we're doing is right. And all of you have to share in that, that the course that we've charted for Alpha Rho is correct. And I fully believe that. We as a board need to demonstrate that we're not going to be satisfied until Alpha Rho is restored and we're all working towards becoming that ideal chapter. And we've got to be the ones who do this, like I said, in order to make our vision of Alpha Rho a reality. And that's tough to do consistently. It's very tough to continue week after week, month after month, pushing that, you know, that message. And it's really tough to maintain that kind of a message, and it's really hard to do that when I know and you know that there are more important priorities that everyone faces in their everyday life. I struggle with that. I know that there are more important priorities. I know our members have different priorities. But I also maintain that there are enough of our members that want to see us succeed, and they're willing to help out. Most don't want to do the heavy lifting that we're doing. But I'm sure that many want to help out financially. They just need to be asked repeatedly until they do. We're going to have to ask them 6, 7, 10 times. So let's continue to ask. And we'll continue to ask in the nicest way possible, without shaming anyone or making anybody feel bad who chooses not to or can't contribute. And in doing that, we'll also encourage everyone to participate in our events and really get guys to come back and live that brotherhood. Remind them of at one point in their life, this was important to them. And again, I am optimistic. I think that most of our members still believe at some level in their consciousness, they still remember that feeling that they had when they joined the fraternity, when they were part of it, when those things were fun for them. And I don't care if that was in the late 70s, and I don't care if that was, you know, or a couple years ago. I do believe that most people want to be reminded of that. So I'm going to end by just letting you know I'm as convicted to this as I've ever been. I'm actually more excited now than I've ever been about the future. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, we've just gotten a few people to give us $7,000. I mean, think about that for a second. We haven't even scratched the surface. So I'm more excited about the future than I have. And I also feel that way because I know I'm surrounded by you guys on this board that are as dedicated to seeing us succeed as I am. So let's, you know, for the next couple of weeks, let's enjoy the holidays with the families and friends, and we'll hit January in 2016 as hard and as fast as we can. And, you know, I'm going to have the opportunity to spend some time with Brother Lochner next week when he's in here in Nashville, and I hope that some of you have the opportunity to get together as well over the next few weeks. But again, thank you for everything you've done for the last few months. I'm encouraged. I hope you guys are. I hope you come and hit 2016 as hard as possible and ready to do some great things next year and beyond. And that's all I've got for my report. So let's transition. Is there any old business that's out there? I don't think there is. Anybody have new business for consideration? Okay, I don't hear any. So now's the time that is an open floor for anyone to talk, or the pass the gavel, so to speak, is now. Anybody would like the floor, it's all yours. Don't all speak up at once.
This is John. Happy holidays, everybody and their families. Safe travels if you're traveling.
Thanks, JJ.
The same to all from me, too. Who's on with us from Long Island?
I don't know. Anybody
else? I see the icon trying to talk, but I don't hear any thing coming across. So. Sounds like a communication from Tatooine.
let me search the database for that number.
Yeah, put a drone out, would you, Jason, to see if we can find out who that is.
I'm on it. Well, that come back negative, so we don't have that number.
Yeah, I'll chime in real quick. It's hey guys, how's everything going? It's Bill Bridges, AP 613.
There he is. That's who it is, Billy.
Boom.
Yep. Just want to, you know, this is probably my first conference call I kind of listened in on, and I heard a lot of great stuff. You know, I definitely want to thank each and every one of you guys for doing all that you do. I'm in the gym right now, so that's why I'm a lot of breath. But in reference to, you know, some people from Long Island, I'm originally from Long Island. I live in Manhattan now. So if you ever want to reach out to me, I could definitely give you a list of a couple of brothers I do know that still reside in Long Island.
Well, Bill, thanks for dialing in. We appreciate you getting on there. Glad to see some younger guys from the newer generation on here. When you get a chance, go to our website and send me your updated info so we got your info to get a hold of you.
Absolutely.
Thank
and
you.
Billy's one of the guys I got to know over the last couple of years. Spent some fun times in the city when I was traveling up there on business. And again, I'll just reiterate, he's one of the reasons why I'm so excited about our future, because some of the younger guys that have come through in the last, you know, 5 to 10 years are strong quality brothers. And truly, Billy is one guy that if you met, we'd all be just great friends. So
actually, my pledge brother. That's so. Yeah, Bill and I were pledge brothers. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, possibly the best pledge class to date.
Oh, let's not get crazy there, Billy.
I'll put the guns away. I'm sorry.
That's good. But we do appreciate you calling him, Billy, and you're welcome anytime on these calls. We appreciate it. All right. Anybody else? Open. Okay. Our next conference call
actually
will be...
You know what? I do have something to say while we have Billy here, too. I've been really caught up studying the last few months, and I haven't really been able to find somebody to fill in that role as the representative of the New York region. So, mm-hmm. Bill, I don't know if, you know, you don't have to make a decision now. We can talk offline, but essentially it's somebody to plan and to continue some networking between our brothers here in the area. And if you want to, like, kind of assume that role, it's really there's really not much I mean, I wouldn't say that. Just planning events and keeping us all connected within the area. So, like, the cruise that we've done over the past few years is, like, a perfect example of what those brother events are. And if you're interested, that would be something that's still available and we need somebody to take the lead on.
Yeah, absolutely.
We could talk offline, too. So.
Yeah, we can.
All right.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to have you on board, Billy, that way. Okay. Thank you all. Our next conference call will be Wednesday, January 20th. Same time, same setup. And again, all of you have a wonderful Christmas. Safe travels if you're traveling. Enjoy yourselves and your family and friends. Again, best wishes. Look, just concentrate on family and friends over the next few weeks, and we'll come back to this early 2016. Okay?
Thank you, Norman. We appreciate your work as well.
Well, thank you. Can I have a motion to adjourn this meeting?
Motion to adjourn the meeting.
That was Matt. Can I have a second, please?
Second.
Okay, seconded by Patrick. Any opposed? Meeting is now adjourned. Thanks, guys. Have a wonderful rest of your night, and we'll talk soon.
Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.